Good evening, one and all. Yes, I know. Here we go. Almost through June. Just past the longest day. So we're now on the downward trend. Shorter days. Well, not that you'd notice it. But yeah, here in Connecticut, it's been warm and a bit humid. Humid for a couple of days. It's almost been, what did I say, Florida type weather. I guess with the humidity. Oh. But we had a bit of a break this evening. And bit of rain, and means I don't have to, I was telling my guests, we don't have to water the garden tonight, so that's one good thing. But yes, anyway, I am here, and so is my guest. Now, like I do, I was having a read about my guest, and I was a bit confused, because it says, when, and her name, wasn't swimming the Pacific Ocean, I didn't realise she could swim across the Pacific Ocean. I think she meant swimming in the Pacific Ocean, but no, it says she's swimming the Pacific Ocean. So this could be, it could be a first. We could have somebody on the show while they're swimming across to Hawaii or something. I don't know. Anyway, yes, but we'll find out a bit more about that, haven't I? Because I better introduce her. Because on the show today, I have the one and only Stara Andrews. Hi, Stara. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am fine. I mean, I heard people swimming across the channel before, and I think somebody actually swam across the Atlantic. But swimming across, you know, swimming the Pacific Ocean, that's a first. So I'm surprised I managed to squeeze you in between all the sort of news broadcasts and everything like that. Amazing.
Right.
Well, one of the things I always start off the show with, Star, is, you know, say to people, you know, you sort of writing little stories as soon as you could hold a crayon. Well, in your case, you were doing all that sort of stuff, writing and doing little plays and all sorts as you were growing up.
Yes, and I'm an actor too. I'm not, my bachelor's degree is in theater from University of California, Irvine, and I did 2 years at an acting academy. So I'm not doing that right now. I read plays in a group once a month or whatever, but the writing has just been blossoming the last couple of years, although I've done it for many years. And I have to say, may I tell you about the Pacific Ocean thing?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Laguna Beach, Southern California, and, you know, we have beautiful beaches there and everything. And all summer, me and my friends were always at the beach. So I would just go in the ocean, and they wouldn't see me for 3 hours. I would just become a fish. And so I was swimming all the time.
that explains it.
Yeah, so that's swimming in the Pacific Ocean.
So I'm just popping across to Hawaii. See you in a couple of hours, right?
Yeah, exactly. My skin would be all wrinkly and everything.
Oh, actually, my youngest sister was a swimmer, and you know, she used to sort of train every morning and evening and stuff like that. And she got like that, you know, permanently chlorined hair and stuff like that because of being in the pool, but. Not quite the same as the sea, though she did do some sea swimming later on in her life. But yeah, so I can understand that. But you had this. Well, love it. It's right, because you also are a romance novel fan and a ghost story fan. And what you decided to do was sort of marry the two together.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there who love romance, which means you love the feeling of love, you know, not to be too redundant. But I grew up entranced by the writing of Rod Serling, the Twilight Zone series.
Right.
And Richard Matheson, who wrote a lot of the Twilight Zones as well, he wrote the book Bedtime Return, which became the film Somewhere in Time with Jane Seymour and Christopher Reeve, which is a classic time travel romance. So those were the writers that really influenced me. And, you know, so I just use that as a motivation for my stories, you know, with romance.
Right. I mean, I think that's great, because you hear about sort of people who, and I know myself, who sort of, you wear different hats and you start writing this and then, you know, something else comes in and you get other people who sort of try different genres, you know, until they sort of find their niche. You know, it could be, yeah, they like writing, I don't know, you know, Victorian melodrama, because perhaps in a past life that's where they were. But when you're able to sort of merge and marry together the sort of the ghost story and like paranormal stuff, and then, you know, adventure, and then of course your bit of romantic hat comes on and you bring that as well. I think that's great. It makes it easier for you to sort of, I think, you know, look at it from lots of different sides when you write a book, perhaps.
Exactly. And I don't know if you have fans of the Conjuring movie series. A new one just came out, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. And I've seen all three of them, and it's based on Ed Lorraine Warren, the real demonologist, who were married for years and, you know, true love. They just happen to be demonologists, and they exercise demons, right? And the two actors in the films, they have such a great chemistry and connection, and you can feel their love, you know, as the characters. And even though it's a horrifying scenario that we see in the movie, right, and the demons and people, you know, in trouble and this and that, there's that through line, that foundation of their love that just carries it through. And I realize that that's what I want to keep going in my books as well.
Going through that. So what was the first one you wrote? Well, not wrote. What was the first one you had published? Let's get that.
Yes. Bay of Darkness. With the Wild Rose Press, it was published October 2nd, 2019. It's ebook and paperback. It's, of course, on Amazon. And did you want me to tell a little bit about
it? Yeah, without giving it away, obviously, yes.
Right. Yes, exactly. So I'm going to just paraphrase my synopsis there on the Amazon page. So Vivian Kelly is our main character. I describe her as a psychic warrior.
Okay.
And the elevator pitch, actually, everyone loves this, Barry, the elevator pitch, and I'm not kidding you, this really is what it's about. It's Ghostbusters meets Braveheart. Because, seriously, her past life, now she's a modern mystic, sort of a, you know, a very powerful psychic, almost like a modern day sorceress in, current day, 2012. But I'm sorry, 2021.
Right, yeah.
But going just like. But her past life was Boudica, Celtic warrior queen.
Okay.
And she draws on that Celtic power and combines it, her warrior Celtic power from her past life, and combines it with her modern day psychic power and positive light. So she does have a darkness to her, but, you know, Boudica fought for her, the Celtic clans, as you know, against the Romans. So even though she was a formidable figure, she was doing it for the love of her people, and so that they could, you know, not be slaves to the Romans.
And not just that. Her family and her sisters and her mother were also killed by the Romans. We actually went to Chelmsford Castle when we were over there last, and it's got all about her there. So I know a bit about her.
Oh, well, that's a new pilgrimage that I'm going to have to take.
Chelmsford Castle, yep.
Yes, definitely. So I chose that figure because it just blended so beautifully with the character's, you know, rich history and her energy. So Vivian Kelly, after she witnesses the murder of her fiancé and almost dying herself, her mission is to destroy Dagda. Dagda is a Celtic god turned demon. So over the centuries, he's become a demon. And she finds herself in the Northern California town of Half Moon Bay. It's a real town, gorgeous, just an hour south of San Francisco.
Okay.
And she establishes herself there in a new life as a paranormal cleanser. So she, you know, gets evil entities, you know, banishes them from homes and from people. And she has her little team of, you know, a videographer and a guy with the electronic equipment and another young psychic woman who's her protege. And they call themselves the Kelly Society.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these paranormal teams you see on TV.
Yeah,
so this is the one in my book. And after she banishes a banshee, she meets Neil Harrington, who's a soul partner and can promise her true happiness. But when the demon Dagda's black vapor, it creates a whole new world of darkness. He surrounds the world in darkness, and he's going to take over the world, right? Which would not be good.
No.
So the question then becomes, can Vivian abandon everyone she loves and succumb to her past life barbaric force as Boudica to defeat the demon? or because her actions not only determine her future, but the future of the modern world.
Right.
So
right.
There we have it. She has quite a challenge.
Right. Yeah, indeed. Did the idea sort of come to you, or did the characters come to you to start this, or how did it sort of go about getting going?
Well, it's funny because over the years, I'd always had this vision of this powerful psychic woman. Whenever I heard, believe it or not, seriously, when I heard something bad on the news, like, an old lady trusted a young kid and he killed her on the street or something like that, I'm like, God, if she only knew when she looked into his eyes and she knew he was evil, she could have gone the other way or she wouldn't have met her end. And I'm like, God, I wish people were psychic. And, so I started kind of like that. And then I just created this character, and it's like 10 years ago I started thinking of this. But, you work a full-time job, you only have so much time to write. So it was quite a journey. And I saw it as a movie in my head. Seriously, I see a movie. I'm very visual.
Uh-huh.
But I see a movie in my head.
Okay.
I literally write down the movie.
That's interesting, because some people are like that, and some people have the characters, but it's almost like, as you say, in your case, you were sort of doing the film stuff, like a person writing a film script from the sound of it, which is great, because it enables you, the fact that you can see it, it enables you to then paint the picture with words, shall I say, to make it that much more understanding. Now, also, it sounds like this Kelly Society could well be going on into a couple of other books from the sound of it.
Yes, exactly. They are my Scooby gang.
There you go.
exactly. And every character has their own little quirks, and there are different ages and types and this and that. So I'm in the final edits now of a Kelly Society Christmas. It's a shorter book, a novella. And let me tell you the little tagline, because it's really funny. She battles Krampus, the Christmas demon.
Okay.
And so this is the tagline. Vivian Kelly's Christmas list is pick up a Christmas tree, check. Buy Christmas gifts, check. Order pumpkin pies, check. Save my friend Josh from Krampus the Christmas demon, check. So it's supposed to be funnier,
Yeah. So what sort of response have you had to this first book?
Well, it's coming along. I have gotten I placed in two book contests. So
I saw that. I forgot to say award winning. I'm sorry. I normally manage to sneak that in, but yes, award winning author. Yes.
Oh yes. Well, thank you. So I placed as finalist in the NN Light Paranormal Book Contest and the Reader's Favorite Book Contest. I placed finalist, so very excited about that.
Right.
And I've got 20 great ratings on Amazon. I'm at a little plateau right now, but I'm going to do some more promotion coming up.
Right. And, of course, I said you'd introduce you as Stara. You actually write under S.K. Andrews.
Yes. Stara K. K is my middle name.
There you go. So if people are looking for it, it's S.K. Andrews. Anyway, we'll get to that later on in the thing. So now you've got your foot in the door, so to speak. I've got to stop saying that. I say that all the time. You've got your foot in the door. Is there any other genres that, are you likely to sort of perhaps try just a straight romance, or you think this is great having the mix?
Well, actually, I keep being drawn to the paranormal element.
Right.
But I did want to try perhaps two people from different backgrounds and fields finding a common ground and finding each other. And I'll have to think of that in the future.
There you go. So, you said you sort of replays and stuff like that. And the fact that this is, when you were writing it, you saw it pictorially in your mind sort of thing. Can you see this being a TV film or something, or even a series, I could see?
Well, definitely. I've already got the outline for the second and third book, and the Christmas book I just mentioned is just an extra. It's just a shorter novella.
Right.
But and I want to write one that's the focus is Halloween as well, of course. But I have it's a trilogy, and You know what? I was on Netflix the other day, and they, you know, they have a whole line of paranormals, right?
Yep.
Penny Dreadful and, you know, of course, Stranger Things and all that. And they had a genre I had never seen before, Barry. It said paranormal soap, like a soap opera, like a, you know,
okay.
And that's a lot of romance.
Yeah.
Paranormal soaps. And I'm like, my book, my story would fit perfectly in there.
There
so
you go.
I'm hoping in another, the future someday.
Another slot on the bookshelf. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I was trying to think, when you were sort of saying about it, The Librarians. That's the sort of serious thing I was thinking of when you said.
Yes, exactly. Those are wonderful.
Yeah, so that. Okay, so you're with the people you're with. We've had a few authors of those. What's his name? Rose.
Yes, and Jennifer Wilk.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I know I've had a few in the past from them as well. It seems that they're very good at picking up new authors and working with them and giving them challenges to sort of bring the best out of them. Have you found that?
Yes, definitely. Recently, around Christmas time, they asked for short stories that involved something with Christmas cookies. And so I wrote one that Spirit Sugar Cookies. Sugar Cookies, Christmas Cookies.
Right.
Anyway, it didn't fly because I didn't have enough time to get it in, for what they needed. However, I'm going to hang on to it for the Halloween version. And it's great because it had me write a whole bunch of stuff that I'm going to use later. And it's about these ghost children in a metaphysical store because Vivian Kelly's best friend, she and her husband run, it's called Luna Books. And you know those metaphysical bookstores, where they have kind of coffee.
Oh, yes.
Coffee You know, and they have all these spiritual books and everything. And so these little children haunt there, but they make the sugar cookies each year for the owners of the bookstore. And they're extra special and sweet, and people can't figure out why. And it's because of the joy of the little children's spirits that make the cookies.
Right. Terrific. Of course, you do have help with writing your books. Audrey Hepburn and Vivian Lee. Help you, I'm sure.
Yes, those are the names of my cats.
People say, the ghosts come to her and help her out. No, that's your cats. That gives people an idea just how you are into the sort of romantic comedy type things when you've got cats called Audrey Hepburn and Vivian Lee. I mean, none of your normal snowflake or anything like that. No, you have cats with those names. I mean, it must be great when you're calling them.
Yes. Oh, hey, wait, I got to tell you what happened the other day. So Audrey Hepburn, she's really adorable. She has a little white patch on her chin there. And I got the Chewy.com, Chewy.com, right?
The
food place. So I opened the box. She likes to sit in there. And so I took a picture of her sitting in the box. And it says Chewy.com on the side. I put it out on my Twitter. And I guess Chewy.com, the company, trolls their name. And they retweeted it out on their Twitter. I know. And they said, I said, Audrey loves my Chewy.com deliveries. And it was a really adorable shot. My sister thought it was an ad for Chewy. I go, no, that's my cat. And so they retweeted it out. And they said, Audrey's your delivery star? Obviously, it's all for Audrey, with a smiley face. So she's famous now.
There you go. Wow. I've got to, that's it. I'll have to train ours now.
Yeah.
But as for cats sitting in boxes and that, yes, know all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they sit on the counter or something, it has to be on a piece of paper or something you're reading or something like that. They never sit directly onto things. They always have to. Hence why my computer keeps getting reset overnight because somebody comes and sits on the keyboard.
Yeah. Right.
I came in the other day.
You know
you can set the computer up so that it narrates what's on the screen. I came in the room here the other night, and then my computer was talking to nobody in particular, but somebody, I guess, had managed to lay across the keys, and it was narrating everything that appeared on the screen.
Oh, how funny.
Oh,
I love it. Yeah, they walk across the keyboard as I'm writing the
book. As you're trying to write, exactly. I mean, it was even worse when I was working from home, but we always have rescue cats, and we have a dog, but it's always with character. And this cat we've got at the moment is beyond a character. And we got 130 pound Japanese Akita, and the cat and her are just best friends. They just, when the cat waits for the dog to come in from outside, and they walk off like Laurel and Hardy, and the dog lays down like the Sphinx with its paws out in front. The cat goes in front and then backs in between the paws. I tell you, it's.
Oh my God!
It is something to be seen.
Oh,
we have seen it, yeah. But we're going to do it in a Chewy box next time, obviously.
Yeah. They'll be famous.
You're right. When you were
I love it.
When you were writing your story, you know, obviously, as we said, let me get the Bay of Darkness. Did you have?
Yeah.
You said about the characters and the gang, and they got their own sort of own quirks and what have you. Did you find that some of them wanted their own book or wanted a more of a major role?
Yes. Well, I have the two youngins. There's a 28-year-old and a 22-year-old. So Jason Lee is the 28-year-old. He's the photographer. He takes pictures for like National Geographic, but he's like obsessed with getting a ghost on film. He's all into the paranormal. He's like the most excited one.
Right.
And then her protege, Sean, who's 22, who's the young psychic woman. So they get together and they're going to have a book because, you know, they're going to get married and have their own.
Right.
There's going to be the Halloween book because she's going to do readings at Luna Books, where Vivian's friend, her friend owns the bookstore, because she's, you know, psychic. And when they're not on their adventures and, you know, banishing demons and evil entities and all that, she will be reading there, and so there's the whole story about them.
Is Luna Books a real bookstore in New York?
No, I made it up, but I'm sure there is one somewhere.
Okay. I seem to remember going to one called that for, with some young adult books authors I knew, but I might be miles away. It's all right. It's old age. Memory starts going, yeah.
No, I'm sure there is, and I will only write about it in a positive way so they don't sue me.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's famous because this is now in a book. Yes, that's right.
Right. Oh, yeah. They're going to read it.
Okay, so when you finally got this book out, one of the things that I find people get shocked about is they think that, you know, okay, I've written this book, I've got a copy in my hand, this is it, you know, I've done it, I've got my books out there. They don't realize that that's when the hard work starts. Did you find that?
Oh yes. And Wild Rose Press was wonderful because they gave us a whole booklet, you know, even when we signed the contract, about the whole marketing of it. And Bay of Darkness, I didn't do enough beforehand. You know, you can send copies for people to read and write reviews, you know, have the reviews
all
ready to go.
That,
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously on Amazon, they have to purchase it, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, blog posts and interviews. So I learned from the first one, and now I'm a bit more savvy.
Right. Yeah, I'm a huge fan, especially the YA bloggers. I call them the ShamWow of literature because they just soak everything up. But, you know, people don't realize that to me, that's it now. You get on some blogs and, like, if you're at a bookstore and signing it, you're there for a couple of hours. You might get half a dozen people come up, two want to know at the bathroom, a couple think you work there, and then the others sort of want free bookmarks or something like that from you. And once you've been there and done it, you're forgotten. But when you're on a blog or something like that, you get bloggers read that person's blog, and then they might want you on their blog, and it just expands. It's like a pyramid letter. And when people then do searches for you, of course they come across this. It's not that you're not there anymore. You're there, available for people to read. So I think, you know, that's obviously the way things are these days, and I think it's going to be the way in the future. But people just don't – a lot of people, especially people who've been writing for a while, just can't – you know, they think it's, oh, you've got to go to a bookstore, you've got to do this. You haven't. You've just got to be physically out there.
Exactly. And in Wild Rose Press, we have an email group of all our authors, and we retweet each other's tweets.
Oh,
so
good.
That helps as well.
Good, good.
But can I do a little shout out for Reader's Favorite website? And that's the name of it, Reader's Favorite. They have a, you know, book contest every year. That's the one I placed finalist in. And they have all different categories.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
They're the most wonderful people. And they did a review for me as well. I did pay for it. I can't remember how much. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, they would obviously, you know, if it was something really, a book that was really bad, they would make arrangements with you or something. But the review came out. They said, remember, it's going to be at least 2 weeks, and it came out in a week. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is good or bad. And she loved it. And then you can also, each month they have a lot of readers, and they enter for a prize, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they put in their email or something like that. And the winner each month gets to pick a book that they want in a particular genre. And I can put my book in there. I just pay for, you know, an ebook.
Yep.
It's like $4. And I've had my book chosen, Bay of Darkness, by the winners 4 times in a row.
That's terrific. I mean, I know.
Yeah.
I had mine right up at that place. But, yeah, they didn't have that sort of contest in those days. That's quite a few years ago. But there's a lot of places out there. People don't realize there are a lot of places out there that help authors that can help introduce your book to people. You don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds like some people think. Anyway, time is beating us, as always, when you're having such fun. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
Yes, thank you. So, of course, S.K. Andrews is my author name. On Amazon, it's Bay of Darkness. And I don't have the other books in the trilogy on there yet, but I will in years to come.
There you go.
But I also have my website, skandrews.com. And each Friday I put out a little a creativity cue of the week, and it's a quote or an idea or something about creativity. It can be writing or acting. And then once a month, you know, I have a newsletter, and I put up, I do the 31 days of Halloween. Every October, I'll just say this real quick if we have another minute. And
yeah.
I do the blog. It's a blog post that I do every single day in the month of October, 31 days of Halloween, with the Kelly Society. And the post is done by a different character in the book.
Oh,
and it focuses
nice.
On a podcast, a paranormal podcast, or, you know, a haunted house or something. So I'm going to be starting to gather content for that next month. And it's kind of fun because I get to write it as one of the characters.
I like doing that when I was getting interviewed. You know, one of the characters answered the interview and the questions. So, of course, you know, depending who it was, the answers might be different. You know, if it was the young boy or the young girl hero, it was okay. And, you know, if it was the bully, then slightly different answers. You know?
Yeah. See, I'm not the only actor here. When
authors
have to answer,
you've got
to
do that.
They're acting too.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Anyway,
it's all intertwined.
That it is. And that's what keeps it going. And that's what makes people turn the pages. Stara, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And good luck with the book.
Oh, thank you. And I love your show. I've listened to some of the other ones. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Stara, S-T-A-R-R-A, Andrews. But she writes under S-K Andrews. S for sugar, K for king, Andrews. And we've been talking about, what's her debut book? So I thought she'd got a couple of other bits, but it might be something else. Bay of Darkness. Sort of paranormal romance, bit of everything, as we were discussing. Romantic soap, that was it, or something like paranormal soap, something like that. You know, washes the ghosts away. So anyway, that's what it now comes under, we've decided. But terrific stuff. And a lot of people, as she said, a lot of people have sort of chosen it in these contests and stuff like that and read it and everything. So good stuff. And obviously some more coming along of that Kelly Society as well. Well, that's it. I'll be back tomorrow when my guest is, and I quickly this, Margot Johnson. Tomorrow I got on the show here. And then, of course, back the weekend with my two musicals, 5 to 6 on Sunday. Those are the days, music from the 20th century. And we're doing dancing. I'm in the mood for dancing. About four shows of that. So last week I forgot what it was. It was fish, I think, or something like that. We have a theme each week. And, of course, we always finish with a slowie on that one. And then after that, an hour of the swinging 60s, music from the 60s, not just the British invasion, but from around the world. Anyway, that's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow. But until then, as always, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget...